We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, hello. It's our first podcast ever. Welcome into Candlestick Chronicles, a 49ers podcast. On the Blue Wire Podcast Network, I'm Kyle Madsen. I write about the 49ers over at NinersWire.com, part of the USA Today Sports Media Group. Joining me, as always, recent Sacramento resident, the farm to fort capital of the world, Chris Biederman. And we're
recent and current.
Recent, right. Well, I called you a resident of Oklahoma City or whatever you were on Sunday. So,
oh, that's true. That's true.
So it's a callback. So
it feels like a month ago at this point.
Boy, does it. That's what's funny is we hadn't done a podcast in so long, and it was like, man, we need to do a pod. We haven't put one out in forever, but it was literally 3 days ago, 4 days ago, we did a pod. So, before we get into some Niners news that's come out, of course, defensive coordinator Steve Wilks was let go. We'll discuss that. Who could replace him? We'll discuss that. Before we do that, we got to discuss the homies at Lamb Chops. SGLambChops.com. That's the website. Instagram, at SGLambChops. They are the best clothes in my closet, and you should get some with promo code Candlestick20 because you will get 20% off your order. You're welcome.
Wearing sweatshorts right now. Yeah, wearing sweatshorts right now. Sweatshorts are amazing for around the house, for going out. Zippered pockets, if you know, you know. Wore my Lamb Chops hoodie on a lot of travels recently. Tons of compliments. Extremely comfortable. It's the perfect hoodie to wear on a plane, in an airport. If it's chilly outside, which it's been, given that it's the middle of February. But yeah, shout out to Lamb Chops and for keeping us fresh and keeping us comfortable while we're moving about.
You too can be fresh and comfortable by going to sglambchops.com right now and get 20% off your order today with promo code Candlestick20. SG Lamb Chops, join the herd. We're also sponsored by Cooperage Brewing. It is your favorite brewery's favorite brewery. They have so much good beer. And they now have a beer that is dedicated to Beyonce, the brewery cat. And I need some immediately. The can art is just unbelievable, as per usual with Cooperage. I am a Cooperage drinker. It was the case even before they were a sponsor. Chris, you introduced me to Cooperage. Everything I ever tried from there was delicious. They have it at a local bottle shop near me. But I would always be drawn to it anyway because of the can art. I'm a big can art guy. When the art can is sick, your boy is in.
Cannot blame you.
Thanks. I'd be pretty bummed if you were like, this is your fault.
Yeah, so Cooperage right now, if you're into double IPAs, they actually have two double IPAs, so they've doubled up their double IPA selection. They have Succulent Fantasy Hazy, so they have a Hazy Double, and they have a Granddaddy Terp West Coast Double. Which you should get because it's delicious. And they also have a double dry hopped version of Keg Slayer, which I don't know that I've seen before. But if you've had Keg Slayer, you know it's as good as anything that comes out of the Northern California craft beer scene. It is a, I believe it's a West Coast IPA, but they call it just an IPA on their website, with Simcoe Citra and Mosaic hops. Obviously, Cooperage is also responsible for the Candlestick Chronicles Hazy IPA, which has been delicious, which a lot of our listeners have been purchasing and enjoyed during football season. So we very much appreciate that. But yep. Shout out to Cooperage, man. It's been their third year supporting us, and it's been a great partnership, and we greatly appreciate it.
Yep. Love the beer. Love the homies at Cooperage. It's a great brewery. Go check them out. And of course, you can order the beer online at cooperagebrewing.com. If you're 21 and up and in the state of California, they will send a case of beer directly to your front door. It's the best way to acquire the best beer. Cooperage, cooperagebrewing.com. All right, let's talk about Seawolf.
Blue Wire. Hey, this is George Kittle, and you're listening to Candlestick Chronicles.
Has got him and a sack him back inside the 30-yard line. Nick Bosa drops Aaron Rodgers for a 13-yard loss.
Quick pass caught by Kittle. He dives and he's in. Touchdown, 49ers.
So I do a radio show, not to brag, 10 to noon on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. And... And I got off the show at noon with my co-host James Hamm, and the last thing we talked about was how Steve Wilkes, James thought that Steve Wilkes was going to go, and I was like, nah, I think they keep him around one more year. He's familiar with the guys now, more familiar with the scheme, da-da-da-da-da. And then not 4 minutes after that, there's a conference call with Kyle Shanahan, says he's parting ways with Steve Wilkes, or relieving Steve Wilkes of his duties. And I think I'm not going to diatribe. I want to make sure you agree with me before I diatribe here. This isn't just a knee-jerk reaction to the Super Bowl, right? This is a long time coming.
Yeah, if you paid close attention to this team throughout the regular season, you saw that it clearly felt like something was a little bit off with the defense, and Kyle Shanahan made sort of a different hire than what he's made typically when he hired Steve Wilkes to begin with. He was outside the building. It was a scenario where Steve Wilkes was hired to run a scheme that had already been in place. Steve Wilkes did not have carte blanche to say, you know, we're going to run my scheme and do it my way. Kyle Shanahan said, you're going to run a similar version of the defense that's already been here that we've drafted personnel for. And you're going to put your spin on it and you're going to call the plays. And Steve Wilkes started up in calling plays from the booth. And then midway through the season, after their 3-game losing streak, and the bye week, he comes down and starts calling plays from the sideline. And fast forward to the playoffs, right? Going into the Super Bowl, there's a big conversation about the lack of effort the 49ers defense played with. And crazy. That's absolutely an issue with the players, right? Like that is a player's thing. That's a thing that the players control. But to me, it also signaled that, or it at least raised the question, is there the same level of buy-in with these players and the coordinator as there was with the previous coordinators, right? Because that was a real hallmark of D'Amico Ryan's and Robert Saleh's defenses, was that those guys would fly to the ball at all times. You would, like, the 49ers would miss tackles or whatever, but it was never for lack of effort. It was for like over pursuing, mm-hmm. right? And like trying to do too much. That was like when you thought about the issues that the 49ers defense sort of ran into from time to time, it was, oh, Talanoa Hufanga's got his eyes in the backfield and he's being too aggressive and trying to make a play while letting somebody get behind him. Or you have, Dre Greenlaw overrunning an outside running play and allowing a cutback lane and missing the tackle, right? Like those were the issues that the 49ers had previously. It was like a lack of discipline in some scenarios, right? But it was never a lack of effort. So for them to have the NFC Championship game, the first half against the Lions, go the way it did, and for it to be like, man, guys are just kind of jogging after the ball carrier and it doesn't look like they're playing with all that much intensity, that definitely raised alarm bells that, you know, and we had talked about midseason, like after the Vikings game, when Steve Wilkes called a zero blitz with however many seconds left in the first half of that Vikings game, in a game that they lose by one score, you know, that play obviously leads to a touchdown, a completely needless touchdown and a completely needless blitz in that scenario. It was like, you know, is Steve Wilks going to last the bye week? Like we had that, right. We had that exact conversation. Will Steve Wilks last the bye week? Like, this is kind of weird. Like the Niners defense statistically was still really good. But it just felt a little bit off throughout the entire season. The effort questions in the playoffs were particularly alarming leading into the Super Bowl. And then you see in overtime, there was that second down play where Kyle Shanahan looks furious on the sideline and calls a timeout. And he said in his exit interview press conference earlier this week that he didn't like the look that he saw, which is basically him admitting we had a terrible call. For whatever they were going to run there. And I had to step in and stop it from happening. And that's
nuts, dude.
That I don't remember that ever happening with Robert Sala or D'Amico Ryans. Right.
And that's never once
overtime of the Super Bowl. Right. So I understand the, like, you know, I've been paying some attention to some of the discourse, and it's always, or not always, but a lot of it has been like, well, Kyle Shanahan's been the offensive play caller in three Super Bowls where they've blown, you know, 10-point leads. It's like, okay, cool, but that's immaterial to what this conversation is.
Right.
Right. Like, right. Kyle Shanahan's not, he's the head coach of the team. He's not firing himself. And, you know, he's not resigning because he lost a Super Bowl and lost a 10-point lead. He's doing what he thinks he needs to do to put the organization in the best spot to win a championship next year. Mm-hmm. Is it fair to Steve Wilks? You know, not really, but I think Steve Wilks knew going in that the bar was set incredibly high, both by his predecessors and both by what the expectations were. Mm-hmm. And I think as the year went on, Kyle Shanahan saw things like, this isn't going to work. Like this isn't something I want to run back next year.
Right.
And that's not to say that Steve Wilks did a terrible job. I think it was more that Steve Wilks wasn't a great fit, and it wasn't a great situation for him where he's running a defense that was like put in place for him instead of him, you know, being named the defensive coordinator and the Niners running the scheme exactly the way he wanted to run it. It was him adapting to them, and ultimately it didn't work out.
Yeah, I think there's an important distinction here. And Alfonso Valdez in the YouTube chat asks the question, can you break down why Steve Wilks was hired knowing he didn't know the scheme? It just seemed like it was never going to work. So that ties in a little bit to what I wanted to say here. This is not about Steve Wilks being a good or bad coach. It's about fit, right? It's like if you took Steph Curry and said, hey, we're going to make Steph Curry the starting center, and then it didn't work out, it would not be that Steph Curry's bad at basketball. That was just not the right spot for him. And I think they hired Wilks, a guy with a background in secondary play, because he is such a good leader of men and because he is a well-respected coach. We had Miles Hartsfield on this show, who was with Wilks in Carolina and then briefly with the 49ers this year. Go back and listen to how he talks about Steve Wilks. Like, the players love him. And I think there was a hope from Shanahan and the 49ers staff that there could be a meshing of what Wilks is really good at with this foundation the 49ers have already built, and they could gel those two things. And I'm guessing Shanahan talked to Wilks at some point after the Super Bowl and projected out what the next, you know, 5 months until training camp are going to look like, and didn't see the growth that either didn't see the growth during the season he was hoping to see, or didn't foresee it coming anytime in the near future. And if by one season things haven't totally been ironed out, any wrinkles that are going to be there from that adjustment period for Wilks and the 49ers defense, then like it's probably not going to happen in year two. So I just hate the idea that there are people like, oh, Steve Wilks is being scapegoated. Like, no, he's not, man. I promise. I guarantee you Kyle Shanahan isn't like, the Super Bowl went awesome from an offensive perspective. Nothing needs to change there. Like, I promise they're going to do some things differently on offense too. It's just like you said, he's not going to fire himself.
And Kyle Shanahan has typically been a pretty like pretty good at cutting bait when like earlier rather than later, right? Like when it was clear that Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't the guy, mm-hmm. like Kyle Shanahan moved pretty quickly, right? When it was clear Trey Lance wasn't the guy, Kyle Shanahan moved pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. He's not going to not make a decision because of optics. He's not going to say, oh, well, you know, the Niners defense was still top five in a lot of categories throughout the regular season. Mm-hmm. So because of that, you know, it would look sketchy to fire Steve Wilks after, you know, the defense played pretty well for most of the Super Bowl, right? Like he's going to say, no, I don't think this is going to work. And it's probably going to be worse next year. Mm-hmm. So I need to nip this in the bud now before it potentially gets worse. And that's like, that's what I think, you know, a lot of people view decisions in the NFL based on, you know, past history, like what, you know, what evidence do we have from the past and how can we apply that going forward? A lot of decisions that are made in the NFL are about looking forward and about like, yeah, this guy might've been great, but you know, he's going to, and I'm talking like using an example for a player, like, you know, there's this player who's made four Pro Bowls in a row for us. But like now, you know, we have to sign him to a new contract, pay him at the top of the market. And he's probably not going to be as good as he used to be. Like those are the types of decisions that are hard that you have to make beforehand rather than just say, oh, we're going to reward this guy for past performance when in all likelihood, that's not going to give you the best chance to win the following season. You're just making a decision based on past history. Right. So I think Kyle Shanahan's good at avoiding those scenarios. And I think he absolutely made this decision because he thought, you know, I think if we were to give Kyle Shanahan a blueberry Red Bull blueberry Red Bull vodka and ask him the truth about Steve Wilks, I think he would probably say something to the effect of, I don't know that the players really wanted to play as hard for Steve Wilks as they did for his predecessors. Hmm. I think that's probably a real thing. And I don't know that, you know, I don't know that Fred Warner would ever like walk into Shanahan's office and be like, this guy's got to go. But I do think Kyle Shanahan will, like, Shanahan does a good job of reading the room and understanding, like, you know, do Fred Warner and Nick Bosa believe in this guy? Mm-hmm. Because I think it was Bosa who said after the Super Bowl, there were a few plays that the Niners just weren't prepared for schematically. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's about as scathing an indictment of a defensive coordinator as you can have without flat out saying this DC didn't have us prepared. Right.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, like it's unfortunate. It's certainly not a good look. Like there's no world is it a good look to fire your DC after your defense played pretty well. But I understand it. I understand why Kyle Shanahan did it. And I think he probably had pretty good reasoning to do it. And I also think he probably had a pretty good idea of who he was going to hire next, which might be the proper segue for this conversation. I don't think he would do it just to say, oh, I'm going to fire Steve Wilks and now I'm going to figure out what the backup plan is. I think he probably had a name or multiple names in mind that he thought would potentially put the 49ers in a better spot for next year.
I just want to point out one thing before we transition into who might replace him. And it's not, this has nothing really to do with Steve Wilks. It's just, I get weird about semantics and stuff in cases like this. The reaction to the Wilks firing and people being like, Steve Wilks' defense held Patrick Mahomes to 19 points in regulation and you fired him. The Chiefs scored 22 a game, man. It's not like they held down this juggernaut. It was scoring 40 a game and all of a sudden they hold him to 19. It was not that. But again, I know that the only touchdown drive they had in regulation came off the muffed punt. Like I get it. It's more a like Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense thing to me than a Steve Wilks thing. That was a funny thing I kept seeing that kept coming up all year. It was like, man, this Chiefs offense really stinks. And all of a sudden Steve Wilks gets fired and it's like, well, you held down the Chiefs offense. Like, yeah, man. Yeah, totally. Really locked up Mecole Hardman and Justin Watson. Anyways,
it felt like after the Vikings game, when Kyle Shanahan had mentioned that it was a terrible play call to call the zero blitz right before halftime that led to the touchdown.
That by itself.
That was probably the most telling thing. And then for Shanahan to just be like, yeah, we had to have a conversation with him and move him down to the sideline.
And then
talking about the players' effort in the playoffs, like it was just, it didn't seem right.
And then Wilkes starting his next presser, and you talked about this on the podcast. It was like he had kicked someone's dog. Like he opened up his press conference with like, I'm sure you have a lot of questions, but I need to apologize. Like for what? You didn't
right.
think you thought
right.
was right. That's your job.
Like, right. You don't need to apologize for a play call. That's super weird. He treated it like he I don't know, like ran over someone with his car. Like didn't stop at a stop sign or something. It was like, guy, it's just a play call.
Right. But the apology came as like, man, he got lambasted for this. Like, this is a very serious thing inside the building, man. Yeah.
Did they lose that game by 4 points?
Yeah. And Christian McCaffrey fumbled, if you can imagine.
Yeah. Too soon.
I wanted to, our buddy Frank, who I honestly, I love him to death, sent me and our buddy Nate this like Spanish, I forget the group, but it's like this song about the 49ers, and it's in Spanish, and it's really, really good. It's really, really fun. But he's like, hey guys, not sure if this is too soon, but I thought the song was cool. Like, thanks, Frank. Love you, dog. It's too soon, but that's fine. Thank you for thinking of us. Who are they going to hire next?
So they could go any number of directions. I think Kyle Shanahan is more likely to find the next hotshot sort of position coach who's familiar with the scheme. Mm-hmm. Although, like, I know, like, Bill Belichick sounds like a, like, no way this would happen. And sure, like, there are plenty of reasons for Bill Belichick not to take the job. I don't think there's any reason for Kyle Shanahan not to call Bill Belichick. I think the issues that Bill Belichick had with the Patriots had far more to do with the offense and the fact that he was in charge of personnel and the quarterback situation and hiring offensive coaches, none of which would be problems if he just was the Niners defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. It would be an opportunity for Shanahan to be like, we're all in and we are, you know, we are pushing all of our chips in on this season. And we believe that even though it's going to be a different scheme and, you know, you're probably going to have to throw a hell of a lot more at your secondary players in terms of like, you know, the Niners scheme for the most part wasn't super adaptable. It wasn't like, you know, like Bill Belichick is known for having a unique game plan for every game. And that, like, the unpredictability of his defense was one of his staples. And, you know, his famous thing was always taking away the opponent's strength and forcing them mm-hmm. to play left-handed. Whereas the Niners, since Kyle Shanahan's been there, have run some version of Pete Carroll's scheme mm-hmm. and have stayed mostly true to that with some wrinkles here or there. But it's been 4-3. It's been wide nine. And it's been, you know, a lot of cover three with some man on third down and some blitzes here and there. Mm-hmm. But it's been, that's been the identity. So bringing in Belichick would make sense from the standpoint of like, well, when would we ever have the opportunity to hire the best defensive coach, perhaps in NFL history, to be our defensive coordinator mm-hmm. with a roster that's ready to go to the Super Bowl again. Mm-hmm. But schematically, it would be an adjustment. Mentioned Pete Carroll. That's a very interesting one mm-hmm. Because Pete Carroll lives in the Bay Area. He lives in Marin County. He's been a 49ers defensive coordinator before. The Niners already run a version of his offense. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much
his defense.
I don't know how much Pete Carroll like was calling plays in Seattle defensively. Like he always had a defensive coordinator. It never felt like Pete Carroll was the head coach and play caller for the defense in Seattle, even though it clearly was his defense that had his fingerprints all over it.
Right.
So that would be like, you know, do you trust Pete Carroll to be a play caller again, given that he hasn't done it for a while? And would Pete Carroll even want to be a DC? That's, you know, that's one thing too. Brandon Staley's a name that's been thrown out. Brandon Staley was a defensive coordinator for 1 year with the Rams in 2020.
Can I just real quick give thoughts on Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll?
Yeah, sorry.
all good. The Bill Belichick stuff, like I'm certain the 49ers are going to call, and I'm certain John Lynch is going to ask. John Lynch asked if they would trade Tom Brady in 2018. Like that's nuts, right? Or 2017. So I have no doubt that that's a call that's going to happen. I would be stunned if Bill Belichick takes that job. Stunned. Floored. Flabbergasted. Slack-jawed if he took a defensive coordinator job.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Yo, it's your homies Kyle and Chris for Lamb Chops. SGLambChops.com is the website. They are the official clothing brand of Candlestick Chronicles. And follow them on Instagram at SGLambChops because they have some really cool looking stuff that your bland ass boy over here is not very good at styling on his own. And so I pop over to the Instagram. I see how other people are dressing themselves in maybe it's the wolf shorts or the lion shorts, or maybe it's a pair of joggers, or maybe it's the ash gray hoodie that you and I love so much. And I base my outfits off of that, and it always makes me look dope, which is the single most important thing.
And it's also comfortable. It's also high quality. Yeah. It's super stylish. They're conversation starters, honestly. They also have kid sizes on here too.
Yes, that is.
And everything's correct. Unisex. We should point out also. So, no matter if you're a man or woman, these clothes will look great on you.
Or a child. They have children's sizes and a lot of their stuff as well. Use promo code Candlestick20 today to get 20% off your order, or you can do it tomorrow or whenever. Candlestick20 is a promo code any day of the week to get 20% off your order from SGLambChops.com. Shout out to them. We really appreciate their support, and we would appreciate it if you support them by going to SGLambChops.com and ordering some dope, comfortable, high-quality clothing. Join the herd today. Same thing with Pete Carroll. I think Pete Carroll would rather be whatever consultant he is in Seattle and wait for a head coach opening than to pop down and be the Niners defensive coordinator for a year and then go be a head coach. Like that's just, I don't know. It seems like a heavy commitment for a step backwards in job that he doesn't need to take.
So I think that's true, but one leg up the 49ers do have is like they can say to any candidate, like, look, we actually have a chance to get another ring. Like we could bolster your legacy and get you a championship. We have, you know, arguably one of the best defensive lines in the league. We have defensive player of the year from 2 years ago in Nick Bosa. We have an all-pro at linebacker in Fred Warner. We have some young guys we really like in the secondary. We have Traverius Ward, right? Like, so the selling point is, you know, it's not just like, oh, come be a DC for a year. It's like, come win a championship with us, yeah. Which I think hits a little bit different than, like, you know, it's not like Pete Carroll would be taking the DC job in Carolina.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you know, it's like, come help us win a Super Bowl. So anyway, sorry.
No, that makes sense. I don't know, man. There's just something about the idea of Pete Carroll, this awesome head coach at USC, and this all-time great Seattle Seahawks head coach being like, yeah, I'll be a defensive coordinator. Why not? That's in my list of things that I would like to do with my life right now. I don't know.
You know, it's a question I would love to know.
Please.
Is Jed York going to have a budget for DC? Is Jed York going to be like, because what if Bill Belichick was like, I want $15 million to be your DC for a year? Is Jed York going to be like, no?
I don't think so. I'd be shocked. So I'd be shocked if after all this, if Kyle Shanahan said, this is what we need to win a title. We need Pete Carroll. We need Captain Chewing Gum right now. load up on the Trident and get him in here. He wants 15 a year. I have a hard time seeing Jed York be like, nope, that's where I draw the line. Like, I draw the line.
49ers.
Pete Carroll.
Yeah, the 49ers make a good amount of money.
Jed and the family would be just fine. And you know what? That would be something Eddie DeBartolo would do. Would be like, hey, we're hiring Pete goddamn Carroll. Get in here. We're going to push the ass out of the added benefit for the 49ers of having Pete Carroll in there is that you can then hand select your internal candidate and be like, hey, learn everything you can from him because you're next. But anyway.
True.
Continue.
I do think it would be problematic if Jed was the one telling Kyle who to hire.
Yes. And that's why I don't think Jed would do it.
No, he wouldn't tell Kyle Shanahan who to hire. But if Kyle was like, Bill's only coming for $15 million. And to be clear, I think the highest paid coordinators make like $3 or $4 million a year, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, so like if you were to like, if you were to pay him like a middle of the road head coaching salary, be like 10 or 12 million to be your DC. Like, that's not, you know, hey, come make $12 million with us and help us win a championship. That's not a terrible sales pitch. And, you know, Belichick and Carroll have a lot of respect for the Shanahans overall.
That's true.
And again, I don't know if hiring like guys that, you know, former head coaches or clearly on the back nine of their careers, if that's the best way to go. Shanahan has typically hired, you know, young up and coming guys, energetic guys. And I think that's probably the direction he goes. I would be surprised at Brandon Staley, to be honest. I know he's been a name who's been popular. Obviously head coach of the Chargers the last few years, just got fired. Somebody who's viewed as, at least in 2020, the Rams were ranked first in scoring and first in yardage defensively. I haven't taken the dive into like the advanced metrics, but as you pointed out in the show or before we went live, that team had prime Jalen Ramsey and prime Aaron Donald.
I like Eric Armstead quite a bit. I don't think he's Aaron Donald.
No,
just gonna put that out there.
And that would be a departure in scheme, right? That would probably be something that looks more like a 3-4.
Yeah.
And again, Staley was an outside linebackers coach for a few years with the Broncos under Vic Fangio. So he's a Fangio guy, and then was a defensive coordinator for 1 year with the Rams and then got the Chargers job. So it's not like he, I mean, he called the defense with the Chargers. Yeah, and Aaron points out in the YouTube chat, the Bosa family was not a fan of Staley.
Also feels so like it a would little be... bit of a stick in the mud. Like, not a great vibes guy. Vibes are terrible with him.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He feels like a villain from Bob's Burgers. Like, that's really sure. the vibe I get from what's his name? Jimmy Pesto? Any Bob's Burgers fans in here? No, just me. Okay, that's fine. No, moving on. Yeah, I think I'm out on the Brandon Staley idea too.
Matt Barrows here. That one name that I think would make a lot of sense. And Matt Barrows wrote about this for The Athletic. Marquand Manuel, Jet safeties coach. I think he's kind of in line with that, like, up and coming, you know, position coach who's going to be a coordinator at some point. And, you know, like, there's a certain level, like, I think this was true for Robert Saleh and D'Amico Ryans, who were both first-time coordinators when Kyle Shanahan hired them, that there's a certain hunger you get with a first-time guy, right? There's a certain energy, like, this guy's, like, really, like, no first-time coordinator, or at least any, like, position coach who's being a coordinator for the first time who's worth anything is going to come in, like, I know everything because I've done it before. And if you guys listen to me, then we're, you know, then this is all going to work. Like, there was an element with Robert Saleh and D'Amico Ryans where it was, you know, I'm going to bust my ass in this job because I have to prove to you guys that I'm worthy of this job. And I'm going to set the tone with my work ethic and you as players are going to follow suit. There was absolutely elements of that with Robert Saleh and D'Amico Ryans because they were both defensive coordinators for the first time. So, you know, somebody like Marquand Manuel, who was on the Atlanta Falcons staff when Kyle Shanahan was there in 2017 and 2018. And Manuel is from the Carroll tree, basically. And he got his first job with the Seahawks in 2012. And he's not a linebackers guy. He is a secondaries guy, but he's obviously now working under Robert Saleh with the Jets. So that's somebody in terms of, like, you look at the like trajectories of Saleh and Ryan's, somebody like Manuel makes sense. Do you have any thoughts on Marquand?
Yeah, I think the moment you say somebody came up through the Pete Carroll tree like that, that sticks out a lot. I do wonder how dedicated they are to the idea of a front seven guy, though.
Yeah.
After having a secondaries coach in. And maybe that'll be in the interview process. Maybe that'll be something they really focus on. Is saying, okay, you're a secondary coach, but here's what we want to do in the front seven.
Adam Barney in the chat says something that I'd like to address. Why is this Candlestick Chronicles when they play in the damn Santa Clara Stadium? When you have a podcast, you can name it whatever you want.
It's a great point.
And we decided to name this Candlestick Chronicles because we both started following the 49ers when they played at Candlestick. And so thought it was a good name for a podcast. Still think it's a good name for a podcast. And Adam, when you start your own podcast, you can name it whatever you want, my guy.
You know what else it's a great name for? A fucking beer. Let's go.
And we're also not affiliated with the team, so it's not like we have to say we're representing Santa Clara like the team does.
If we were sponsored by if we called it Levi's Stadium Lexicon language, Levi's
It'd be a bad name for a podcast, first of all.
Levi's Stadium chats. It would be we'd have a hard time being sponsored by Lamb Chops.
I think 49ers fans and like have a fondness for Candlestick. And when you hear Candlestick, like if you're a Niners fan and you hear Candlestick Chronicles, you think like that associates as probably something that's 49ers related.
We'll try out.
Although Adam, you do love candles though.
I'm a big candle guy. Thank you. Just for Adam, we will try out for a week. The damn Santa Clara Stadium Chronicles, and we'll see how it goes.
We'll see if it's not rolling off the tongue. It's not rolling off the tongue super easy, but great America parking lot Chronicles. You
know, move the values is such a damn bar though. I'm gonna start telling people to move the values. Thank you, Adam, for tapping in. We appreciate you. What are you talking about? Oh,
Mike Vrabel.
I'm out.
Why are you out on Mike Vrabel?
I just think he's kind of a dick.
Like, first, I mean, most of all, football coaches are kind of a dick.
First of all,
though.
Ohio State guy can't do it. Second of all, no, I don't know how much of a desire he has to like hop in and be a defensive coordinator. I mean, maybe, but he's a Romeo Crennel guy. So I don't know I don't know. Maybe he's, I don't know. I just don't see it. I'm not out on Mike Vrabel. I'm not out on Mike Vrabel. I don't believe that he would realistically be a person who would take the job.
So he's been a defensive coordinator before. He has a background. He was a defensive line coach with the Texans, I believe. He played linebacker in the league, obviously.
He was a defensive coordinator for 1 year with the Texans.
1 year with the Texans. Okay. Yeah, I mean, if the 49ers will have plenty of information when it comes to Mike Vrabel, because Rand Carthon, who is the Titans GM who just fired Vrabel, came from the 49ers. He was in their personnel department a year ago. Mm-hmm. And Kyle Shanahan could call him up and be like, hey, what was this like? What was the deal? Do you think he would be willing to be a coordinator? Do you think personalities would work? Mm-hmm. And the fact that Carthon fired Vrabel, who by all accounts was a pretty damn good coach, and I think punched above his weight, or at least the Titans punched above their weight for most of his time there, despite their roster not being great. But if the ego, if there's an ego situation and you have a defensive coordinator who thinks he's the head coach of the team, then that's not really going to work, right? Like, right. You do not want to ever be undermined as a head coach. And I'm not saying Vrabel would do that, but I'm sure that, you know, I'm sure Rand Carthon had good reasons to fire Mike Vrabel, just like Kyle Shanahan probably had good reasons to fire Steve Wilkes. Mm-hmm. But those communication channels would absolutely be open in terms of the 49ers being able to get whatever information on Vrabel they needed because Carthon's there. Mm-hmm. I would be a little bit like, I wouldn't have, if the 49ers announce it tomorrow, we're recording this Thursday night, if they announce it Friday that Vrabel's a hire, I don't think you could find fault in the hire initially. There would certainly be those questions though. But it, again, if I were to make a bet, it's more likely that the 49ers hire an up and coming position coach. Like, again, along the same trajectory of DeMeco Ryans and Robert Saleh when they were hired, than a former head coach who's out of a job. Right. Unless it was Belichick. I mean, there is such a level of respect, and I probably Carroll too, but there's such a level of respect between Bill Belichick and Kyle Shanahan, mm-hmm. That goes both ways.
Yeah.
That like what if, I mean, Belichick is just like, he's a football junkie. Mm-hmm. What if he's just like, man, I don't want to deal with personnel. I don't want to deal with the media four times a week. I just kind of want to coach defense. Like, maybe Belichick wants to do that. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. Or, yeah, maybe. Maybe he takes the 49ers defensive coordinator job so he can learn as much as humanly possible about the Shanahan offense and then go take and then that beat with him to a next head coaching gig. Yeah.
Yeah, I just think it's, unless it's Belichick, I think it's more likely that they go with a position coach than an unemployed head coach, former head coach. That would be my guess, my read.
Can I give a couple of candidates that I like?
Yeah.
Okay, one of them is Saints linebackers coach Michael Hodges. Hodges started with the Saints in 2017. Dennis Allen took over as the defensive coordinator in 2015. The Saints were 32nd in points allowed that year and 31st in yards. The next year, 2016, they went 31st in points, 27th in yards. Starting in 2017, and since 2017, which is when Hodges got there, and he took kind of the D'Amico Ryans track, where he was a defensive assistant in 2017. He became the assistant linebackers coach in 2019 and then became the linebackers coach in 2020. And that's what he's been doing since. Over that time, he's been working under Dennis Allen, who's had defenses that have not ranked below number 14 in points and below number 17 in yards. They have been, or no, I'm sorry, below, 14th in points, 17th in yards. They've been a really, really good defense that entire time, and Michael Hodges has just been there climbing the ranks and being apparently a very good assistant coach in the second level. Former college linebacker, didn't play in the NFL, but that kind of follows that D'Amico Ryans track. Similarly, Aaron Curry, who was a big... is one of the first drafts I actually like really paid attention to. He's a linebacker out of Wake Forest. I was a big fan. He was not that good of a player. It's fine. But he spent last year as the inside linebackers coach under Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin and Kyle Shanahan know each other a bit. But before that, Curry not only played under Pete Carroll in Seattle, but he was a coach there for 4 years where he was coaching linebackers and the defensive line. So he's been a coach for 5 seasons now, played in the Pete Carroll system, coached in the Pete Carroll system, and also has a year of experience under Mike Tomlin and was a former linebacker, 37 years old. So he also fits that young former linebacker, Pete Carroll tree mold. Bang.
I like it.
Thanks.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
It's just connecting dots, really. The other one that kind of sticks out to me is a little bit older, but his name's Jerome Henderson. And again, he's a defensive backs guy, but he was with the Falcons while Shanahan was there in 2016. And Henderson was in Atlanta for 4 years under Dan Quinn, who is a Pete Carroll guy. And he was the passing game coordinator and secondary coach there. So that's another name that kind of jumped out as I was digging through Pete Carroll, Dan Quinn, tree people.
Yeah, I think those are good names. I like Curry a lot.
Keep him in mind.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like when you were evaluating
against the Jazz,
when Aaron Curry, when he was coming out, I mean, he probably had future coach written all over him in the scouting reports.
Oh yeah, definitely. Wake Forest guy.
Bryce Herber in the YouTube chat asked, would Chris Kocurek ever want to be a defensive coordinator? I've heard he basically said he wasn't interested, but he's always there. I don't think I've chatted with Chris Kocurek a few times in random media availabilities. He does not seem like the type who wants to be anything but a defensive line coach. I think he's, if you ever go to a 49ers practice and just watch him operate and just watch him like be like hands on his knees, like hat backwards, a giant chaw in, and just like screaming at the top of his lungs at the defensive linemen as they're doing their drills to, you know, like get off the snap. And I don't know that guy has I'm not saying he couldn't do it, but I just, there are some coaches in the league who are just so dialed into the position that they coach that they're not going to be somebody who controls an entire side of the ball.
I could see.
So that. And the Niners have kind of been down this road a little bit. Like Jim Tom Sula, I think, is very much similar. Like Jim Tom Sula was like a great defensive line coach, perhaps one of the best in the league. But he was not head coach material. And I'm not saying Chris Kocurek isn't. I just don't get the vibes that he's I get I think the best way to put it is that he's just extremely content coaching defensive line. And that's, he's like a pig in slot. That's like all he wants to do.
No, I also think if he wanted that, he would have gotten it already. If that makes sense. He probably would have been higher like last year.
But yeah.
I don't know.
I like Kocurek.
The 49ers though. He's probably perfectly fine with Kocurek not wanting that position.
Yeah. For sure.
The other question, there was a question in the chat about can other teams not allow their staff to interview now? They can't hold them back from being promoted.
Yeah. So they can't. They can block lateral jobs,
right?
But they cannot block promotion jobs.
If there's a defensive head coach, who's a defensive head coach? Dennis Allen, oddly enough. If Dennis Allen, who is the defensive coordinator for the Saints and their head coach, if he had a defensive coordinator who called plays, the Niners would not be able to go hire that guy. The Saints could block them from interviewing that guy, but they can't block Michael Hodges, the linebackers coach, from interviewing for the defensive coordinator job.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Another thing that popped into my mind while we were talking about it. I don't think this is part of Kyle Shanahan's calculus. So I want that to be clear.
Okay.
But if it were a scenario like it, say they hire Bill Belichick or Pete Carroll, it's probably just for 1 year. Mm-hmm. I would guess. Mm-hmm. Robert Saleh, if you were to bet, Robert Saleh is probably going to be available this time next year. So if you were to make a hire knowing that whoever your DC is probably going to leave after the season, then at least you'd be like, all right, well, we could potentially try to bring back Robert Saleh. But again, that's not something Kyle Shanahan is going to consider really while he's making this decision.
Yeah, no, he's definitely not projecting out Robert Saleh's availability.
Yeah.
But I do think that's interesting for sure. What the hell?
I mean, this is me just kind of manifesting Bob Saleh's return.
I have to...
What's up? Everything okay?
Hang on. Yeah, hang on. There's someone banging on my front door.
Okay. Well, we can... we can end it there. That has not happened before. Kyle leaving mid-pod. But I think that's all we got. We were going to talk about the Niners firing Steve Wilks and the potential candidate. So I think we did that. We will be back with you guys next week, barring any breaking news. Again, now that the offseason's here, the pods will be coming 2 times a week scheduled instead of 3 as they were during the season. And that's barring breaking news. So assuming the 49ers make a hire for their defensive coordinator job, we'll probably come on and do a live show and podcast about that. So keep it locked. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're going to be pushing a lot more stuff on YouTube and trying to improve our channel so it grows and people see it. And it complements the podcast and everything else that we do. So we appreciate everyone who's tapped into YouTube, obviously, the subscribers to wherever you get your podcast feed, 5-star reviews on YouTube, thumbs up, subscribe, notification bell, all those great things greatly helps us. We appreciate the support, and we'll be talking to you guys next week. Up, Kyle's back. I was just, you got to unmute yourself, dog.
Hated that a lot.
I was just saying goodbye, but is everything okay? Do you want to let the viewers in or the listeners in on what's happening over at the crib?
Yeah, it's 8:07 PM and somebody rang. So our doorbell doesn't ding in our house. If anybody knows an electrician that can fix that for cheap, let me know. but our doorbell doesn't ding in our house. We have a Ring doorbell. And I saw the Ring light up on my phone right as I heard someone banging hard as hell on our screen door.
Mm.
And so I look at the Ring camera to see if it's like a neighbor, like what if somebody panicked and need help. And it's just some rando doing like a fundraiser. And at 8:07 at night, just pounding on people's doors. So I was like, what? And they were like, how are you doing tonight? And I was like, it was great until you started pounding on my door. Like, oh my God.
Do you have any Cooperage beer you'd like to deliver?
No.
Good start. So
they go, do you want to take part in our fundraiser? Like, no info on it. And I went, no, I don't actually. And they were
Actually, I'm upstairs talking DC candidates right now.
Do you have any Aaron Curry takes?
what do you know about Marquon Manuel?
Well, can you still donate? What the fuck? Oh, it's crazy.
Anyways, man.
I would not hire that person to be the 49ers defensive coordinator. Attention to detail lacking. Anyways.
Yeah, common sense.
Situational
awareness.
Grinding at all hours. Love that.
Sure.
Love that.
Yeah, sure.
In the lab.
Good stuff. All right. Well, I already said goodbye to everyone and that they should subscribe and give us reviews and hit the proper notification bells and like buttons and all those things. So we'll get out of here and we'll be back next week and we'll probably do a podcast if and when the 49ers hire a defensive coordinator. Talk to you guys later.
Yeah, stay locked in. See you guys.